And welcome back to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo. Joining us during this segment is Peter Egan. He is the Human Resource Director for Carey & Floyd Manufacturing Incorporated. And Peter, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Just as an overview, how about telling our audience about Carey & Floyd Manufacturing, where it's based, what it does?
Well, we're a manufacturing company out of Cromwell, Connecticut. We're in the same 35,000 square foot building. And they're two separate companies, but work very closely together. Floyd Manufacturing is about 99% automotive parts, whereas Carey is mostly hardware, handles, latches, standoffs, things you might find on a file cabinet or something like that, and a lot of defense business.
And we hear this, by the way, a lot, that the defense industry in Connecticut obviously has spinoffs where other companies manufacture parts for the defense industry based in the state. And I guess you're Exhibit A, so to speak.
Well, we get some of that. It's a little bit of a down period now, and we can't figure out why. And it seems to be a little bit down across the state of Connecticut in terms of that business. And perhaps it's what's going on in the election. Everybody has their theories about why, but we expect that to change, soon. But generally, we've been very busy, especially the Floyd side, which is automotive. It's been wonderful. We're very busy. We've probably tripled our business in the last couple of years.
Now, that's a good thing. Now, one of the reasons we have you in is we've had the great folks from the Hartford Job Corps Academy on the program talking about what they do in an effort to train students for a career. And evidently, there is a relationship between Carey & Floyd Manufacturing and the Hartford Job Corps Academy. How about talking about that?
Well, we developed that relationship about 5 years ago. And it was kind of by accident. I've been with Carey and Floyd about 6 years. It's my first time being in manufacturing, but I've been in human resources for about 35 years. And it didn't take me long to figure out that there's a real shortage of manufacturing talent in the state of Connecticut. And I'd like to say there's no middle class. You have the older guys that are transitioning out of the business with all that tribal knowledge you're going to lose. And you got the young kids coming up that you have to train. And that became very apparent to me. So I started searching for unique ways to recruit. And quite by accident, I came across the Job Corps. I was at a meeting at the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology. And the Job Corps people were there. I got to talking to a couple of their people, which you had in, by the way.
Right.
And I decided, to look into it. I visited the place and things kind of went from there. So I still have the first employee that I hired who's now in our quality department that works for us, a young lady by the name of Sarah Bradshaw. They would know her very well. And all told, I think right now we have about eight of their former students working for us between the Carey and Floyd Manufacturing.
What is it about the graduates of the Hartford Job Corps Academy that Carey and Floyd like?
They're hungry. They want to work. When they graduate, they have enough basic knowledge for us to teach them from. The Job Corps also, they just don't graduate their students and forget about them. I'm sure you talked about that. They follow their students. If there's a problem, even after they graduate, I can call, one of the people over at the Job Corps and they'll advise me or help out or actually call the employee and say, hey, you know what, you're representing our for Job Corps here, let's go. So they support them even after they're well out of their program, which is helpful to me.
So do you constantly stay in touch with the Job Corps?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Oh, yes. They follow their students. There's some reports I have to give them. They must have some kind of reporting line, being a federally funded program. So they're always checking in on their guys, and I fill out forms about how many hours they work, what they're making, how they're doing, progress reports, evaluations, stuff like that.
Have you gone to the academy to speak?
Many times, yes. And in fact, last week we had eight of their students and their manufacturing teacher down to Carey and Floyd, and we had a two-hour-long tour, and I talked to them there as well.
And when you go to the academy, what's your message when you talk to them?
I try to give them an idea of what we're looking for, in an employee. a lot of these kids coming from the inner city, like for instance, when I had the kids down last week, I said, there was eight of them, I think, and I said, how many of you had a job? Well, two raised their hands. So most of these people don't, these kids don't know what it's like to have a full-time job and the responsibility that comes with it. So I try to tell them, you know, with me as in HR, I look for some of the soft skills. I want people to be on time. I want people to get along. I'm very big on how an employee fits into the culture of our company. And so I try to explain to them, it's more than about just being able to measure a part. It's being part of the team. It's asking questions. It's paying attention to detail. There are a lot of the things that, I emphasize being on time because sometimes that's a little bit of a problem we have to deal with. And maybe one or two, I'll have a cold someday, and it's easy just to roll in bed and not come into work. And so there has to be an understanding of what it takes to be a full-time employee and the commitment.
There's a discipline involved, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when they come to the take us through the process from the Job Corps Academy, do you sit down? Do you interview them? How do they get that job?
Well, most of it comes first from a recommendation from, you know, the placement people over at Job Corps, and I have a great relationship with a number of them, and I've come to trust them. So if they recommend somebody, generally speaking, they're doing it because they think they'll be successful. So interview is the first thing. I interview them. I try to, again, judge about how I think they'd fit, a little bit of their experience. And then I turn that person over to the production manager, and they take them on a tour of the facility, show them exactly what they'd be doing, and get an idea, because I'm not a manufacturing person. I mean, I'm learning as I go along here, but they'll get an idea what the person knows about their math skills and if they're adept at the different measuring devices that they have to use, and they'll get an idea how they think they would fit from, you know, the actual position. And then myself and the production man will get together, we'll talk, and we'll make a decision based on that, and I'll get back to the Job Corps, ask them some questions. So there's a process that we follow, and it seems to be working.
You are listening to Front and Center. Our guest, Peter Egan, he is Human Resources Director at Carey & Floyd Manufacturing Incorporated. From a standpoint of someone who has never gone through a job interview before, what are you looking for as someone who heads HR?
I like them to ask questions. Part of the process before they're interviewed, they do get some advice and schooling from Job Corps, how to make a resume and what to expect in an interview and how to present themselves. Because, yeah, you're right, a lot of them have never interviewed before. So, you know, and I take that into consideration, too. But I'd like to see how interested they are. If they ask questions, we talk a little bit about their background and their history. And so I have more of a it's more of a conversation than an interview, I guess you'd say. And I like to put them at ease because most of them come in, they're pretty nervous, you know.
Well, even people who have been through the process, who perhaps now have gotten laid off and haven't been interviewed in a while, what should they know when they go face-to-face with somebody in HR?
Well, if somebody's a little more experienced, they have to somehow communicate to me what that experience is. We're always interested in knowing, you know, why they're there, what their goal is. That's important to me. You know, what happened in the previous occupation. Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And generally, I kind of let the interview and the person on the other side of the desk kind of lead me to where I need to go.
Mm-hmm. What do you look for in a resume? Does it have to be detailed, succinct? Well, what are you looking for?
I'm not interested in the three-page resumes. You know, it has to be... Because I'm going to dig in to what I see there. Again, I'm kind of let the person dictate where I want to go. So depending on the experience, where they've been, what they've done, I'll ask some questions about that. But I don't have time to go through all this detail. We're going to find that out between myself and the production manager, whether the person's suited for the job or not, but by the end of the day.
So a one-page resume should do the job, right?
Yeah, one page. A little detail, not much. I'd sooner have generalities, and then I'll dig into it, and we'll find out. That's where the conversation it comes in for me. Right. That's what I prefer more than anything.
That's good to know, by the way. I know that you, in your position at Carey & Floyd Manufacturing, also work with other groups as well. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, as I said before, when I finally realized that we had to expand our recruiting base other than newspapers and referrals, that I started looking, and especially with the success we had with the Hartford Job Corps, I said there must be other programs out there. There must be other places I can go, and it led me to another program, Our Piece of the Pie. It's a very similar program, and then finally one day I made a contact up at Osnuntec Community College. I went up there, was very impressed with the people, impressed with the facility. They're expanding again. You know, that led me to Manchester Community College and Goodwin and some of the tech schools, high schools. And between all of them, we've kind of developed a trust and a referral program where I get some of their top students. And we have one that came out of Our Piece of the Pie and went to Osnuntec. She's a young lady, 21 years old, or 20 years old, and she is now running three very high-tech machines and supervising half a dozen people, and she's been with us about 2 years. She's absolutely brilliant and a great kid.
Yeah, talk about that for just a moment, because we always think of manufacturing as a male-based landscape, so to speak, but you want females too, right?
I guess we're about 40% female.
Great.
We have a lot of females in the business there. They pay attention to detail. I don't want to, dismiss the male portion of it, but...
But it's an occupation that females ought to consider going into.
No question about it. And we have a lot of them. And she happens to be one. There's another one... Who came out of Osnuntec Community College. She's 19. She's now in our engineering department. I can go on and on about some of the people. We have five women in our assembly department. We have a lot of females, and they're fantastic.
You can make a good living in manufacturing, can't you?
Yes, you can. Yep.
Well, talk about that.
Well, when you're starting out... from these programs, it's going to take a minute because we're going to invest a lot of time and money in the training process. But as you start to go, depending, like these two girls, one's head of department in less than a year, another one is in engineering. They're doing quite well. We're a small company. We're not in the Pratt & Whitney type of atmosphere, or General Dynamics, or a lot of these guys, but. Even at a small company like ours, you can make a very, very good living. And the companies are doing well, so you could be there a long time.
We had Frank Galunian from Osnuntec, and you mentioned their manufacturing program, and he says they have a placement rate of over 90%. In other words, there's a need for people to work in factories, right?
Yes, there is. Now, Osnuntec, I probably have about six of their students, their ex-students. And what is one of the differences with Osnuntec, usually you're getting a little bit of older, more experienced worker, because generally speaking, if you're graduating Osnuntec, a lot of people are switching professions, so they might be in their 30s. So you get a little bit more of a mature worker that learns perhaps a little quicker and is a little more prepared to come into our business from the tech schools and in places like Osnuntec.
But getting back now to the Hartford Job Corps Academy, so you bring in a recruit, you hire a recruit, which has gotten some basic training, and talk about the training involved once you bring them on board.
Well, generally, we go through a process we've developed. It's kind of simple. Generally, what we'll take is when the new person comes in, we'll put them with we have two people we've designated as, let's say, our trainers. They're outstanding. They're good with young people. They communicate well. So we generally put them there for 2 weeks to a month to get them started. And then we'll follow their progress. And based on the recommendation of the supervisor, when they're ready to go off on their own, so to speak, or go off on another shift. We have four shifts at Carey & Floyd. And they're 42 and a half hours each shift. So a person may start with us on in this training program and then be switched to one of those other predetermined shifts later when they're ready to fly on their own.
Right. How about computers? How much are computers involved in this?
A little bit initially, because all of the reporting on production is done through a computer, which is pretty easy to do. Mm-hmm. But as they progress, because all of these CNC machines are high tech computerized machines now, and as you start to progress, and hopefully, you know, they can start setting up their own programs, and that takes a while. It takes a while to get used to. These things can be pretty complicated, especially if the program is not already in the machine. Mm-hmm. But that's where you start getting into when we talk about making a good living.
Right.
If you get up to the programming part of this, that's a very real value to a company like ours.
Because what we're hearing is that today's manufacturing facilities are not the manufacturing facilities of yesteryear. Is that correct?
Well, I've been in a few now. I mean, I've only been in this one 6 years, and it's a pretty high-tech looking shop.
Yeah.
And one thing about Jack Carey, he's always looking for the best, newest equipment. And most of the equipment we have is probably less than 4 years old. We have some old, reliable, you know, Citizen screw machines that have been around a long time that we use. But generally speaking, most of our equipment is pretty new.
Wow. Is there a need for people to work in manufacturing here in Connecticut? Are there jobs to be filled that are not being filled?
Oh yeah, lots of jobs. I mentioned that, you know, I'm on some advisory boards in these different places, and we're always getting together, and that's the biggest single complaint. Where can you find experienced people? Well, it's hard to, and so I don't think I'm unique in the way I'm approaching recruitment. I think that's pretty much everybody's doing the same thing, that they just can't find good people. And every day, more and more of these older guys older workers are transitioning out, and that leaves a gaping hole that's hard to fill with the same kind of knowledge.
Because
that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we hear. We hear that the baby boomers are retiring, and mm-hmm. Some of even the Generation Xers, some are taking an early retirement. And then we're hearing that you've got other jobs that are moving from overseas back here, but they're not going filled, that there is this need for skilled workers.
Yes, there is, and it's going to continue to happen. And that's being recognized, and that's why, you know, and Asnuntic is expanding, and some of the other colleges like Goodwin is really coming on board with their manufacturing program. I haven't been in it that long. I've spent some time over there. I have two of their students, mm-hmm. and they're doing a magnificent job over there with expanding their facility. So people recognize that, and in the state of Connecticut has recognized it. And there's a lot of, if you look hard, there's a lot of funding out there for employees, for equipment, infrastructure. It's well known. I mean, it's great to have a conversation like this, because if when we had the last election, you know, there was people saying that, you know, what, manufacturing is leaving. Well, some is, but there's a lot of manufacturing here, and the ones that are here are growing, and have a lot of ability to grow. And again, back to people, can't grow without them.
And one of the things we're hearing is that one of the reasons that some of these manufacturing companies are moving back to the United States is they want a skilled workforce, and they believe that the United States at least has the framework to train a skilled workforce.
Yep, that's right. And I had mentioned this young lady that's running these three pieces of equipment for us. They're all brand new equipment, and it was purchased by Carey specifically to make parts that China makes right now, because we're hell bent on going out to our customers saying made in America, because I think that's big now. And these machines we bought from a place in Farmington, so. You know, manufacturing is big, and it's exciting, and you know, Carey's trying to do their part to make sure it's made here.
Why is it, do you think, just off the top of our heads here, that not enough of the younger generation are pursuing a career in manufacturing when you know that these jobs are out there, there's a need for them, and you could make a pretty good living at it?
You know, there was for such a long time, years and years, I mean, probably a generation, you know, manufacturing was down and was leaving. And I don't think the word is out there entirely that that manufacturing is booming. You know, when you're in that world, you can see it. But when you're not in that world and you're out there, I don't think everybody realizes that manufacturing is alive and very well in the state.
What would you say to someone who might be considering, not particularly the younger generation, might be considering a career in manufacturing, they're on the fence, they don't know per se, what would you tell them?
Oh, I'd tell them to interview it at Asnutec, go up and talk to one of their people, or any of the community colleges if they're in high school. A lot of those schools have those kind of programs. I mean, I know the state of Connecticut was tossing around the idea of lowering the minimum age. Now you can hire somebody as an intern at 17. They've been talking about starting classes as early as third and fourth grade. So there's ways out there. But if there's an interest in manufacturing, I would say that the interview or go look at one of these community colleges and their programs, take a tour of the thing and talk to the people. And that's one of the reasons I have tours down there, because I think it's good for people to actually see it. They see manufacturing, what is it? I mean, what does it take? What does it look like? So that's why I like having the kids come down and look. And they always come out saying, wow, this is amazing. I never thought it looked like that. Very impressive machines. How do you run them? Yeah, I mean.
All right. Well, that's, by the way, one of the things that I've been hearing, that particularly among the community colleges, there's an effort to go into the high schools, into even the middle schools, you mentioned the fourth grade even, and somehow introduce the field, the career of manufacturing at that level of education, right?
Right. Plant the seed early. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. What have you, I mean, like you said, you didn't get your start in human resources working in manufacturing. What have you learned?
Well, the first thing I learned is I couldn't find people. I mean, that was the first thing I learned. But I find it a fascinating business. It changes all the time. I've met a lot of really interesting people, because we make parts for companies all over the world. And you know, we have had people come in from China and Japan and in Europe and Mexico and to tour our facility and to actually look at the parts we're making for them. So it's a fast-paced world, and I enjoy it. I like being busy. It's different. I was in retail and distribution for 28 years, so this is a lot different.
An adjustment for you, right?
Oh yeah, it was. It certainly was.
In summation, again, Peter, what would you say about the Hartford Job Corps Academy?
Well, if you're an employer out there we're concentrating on manufacturing, obviously, but they have different disciplines, as you know, CNA and insurance, and I think they do a wonderful job. So if you're out there looking for people in any of these disciplines, you know, I would say go down, take a tour of the facility, meet the instructors, you know, meet the placement people, and go to one of their job fairs. That's really how I started. Once I made contact, they have job fairs periodically. I've been to their graduations. You know, go take a look at its amazing facility in Hartford. And I think anybody that would go down and take a look around and talk to some of the students, I think they'd be very impressed.
Actually, before we wrap up the interview, what are those graduations like, the ceremonies?
Oh. Well, they graduate at different times of the year,
right,
depending, again, on what it is. And
I mean, it must be awe-inspiring to see them graduate and for them to graduate.
Yeah, and it is. And generally speaking, the governor's there. I mean, this is a big deal for these people. And in the last time I was there, I think they brought back a Job Corps graduate from the first graduating class of Job Corps, and she made a very inspiring speech. And then you get all the political and that stuff. But when they get to the actual graduation, it's pretty good. It's like a college graduation where they march in And it's in for them, this is probably the best thing they ever did in their life.
Yep.
You know, it's a life changer for them. Yep. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, no question. Peter, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
No, I just I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our company and what we're trying to do here, and particularly all these different programs out there and the wonderful people at the Hartford Job Corps.
Peter Egan, Human Resources Director at Carey & Floyd Manufacturing Incorporated. Peter, thank you very much for joining us on Front & Center.
Thanks.